Praise the Lord. We're looking at building blocks for evangelism, as you know, and as Lee pointed out before, we've been looking at how we share our faith with those we meet. Some of the last words of Jesus came in Matthew 28, where it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we're called to share our story with others and to encourage them in the way of the Lord. And we've looked at the fact that those we meet have a story. Everybody is different, and sometimes we don't know what's gone on in their lives, what kind of circumstances they're in, what kind of situations they've come from. And we've looked at the fact that God also has a story, and his story is one of love. How his heart has always been full of love for us. How he wanted a relationship with each one of his people, and how he made a way back to himself through the precious blood of his Son, because we had a sinfulness which cut us off from him. And we're looking at how we connect the story of those outside and those we meet with God's story. We want them to know about a God who totally loves them. And often it happens through our story. And that's what we're going to look at for a few minutes today. I want to look at three aspects of our story. Number one, our story is real. Our story is ongoing. And our story is powerful. Our story is real because it happened to us. God uses different people and different ways to bring us to himself. Just think for a minute about your story. Think about how God moved in your life to bring you back to himself. Who were the significant people that he touched to bring you to himself? Or it might have been difficult circumstances. How many times have we heard people say, you know, they cried out to God, God, if you're real, get me through this and I'll believe in you. And they came to Jesus that way. We've heard from people like Barry Woodward tell his story of drugs and prison and dramatically finding God through all of that. Well, my story isn't dramatic. And in my young days, I used to be sad about that. I used to hear so many people with these dramatic testimonies of a life that had been totally changed. I used to think my story was boring. I think my mum and dad would have been jolly glad it was, because I was only 11 at the time. And if I'd have been into drugs and prison and everything else, I think it would have been a bit of a heartbreak along the way. But I was 11 years old and I used to go to church. I went to Sunday school in the morning, but I also went to the gospel meeting every night. They had a gospel meeting in a little council hut in Netherton that we used to rent. And a man was speaking one night at this gospel meeting, and he was sharing about how he prayed for his friend for such a long time. His friend was an older man. And he was rejoicing with us that night that on his deathbed, this man had given his heart to the Lord. And this friend who had prayed for him for so long was absolutely delighted about that. as a young person, I found that appealing. I could do the things that I wanted to do, live the way I wanted to live, and then on my deathbed, I could accept the Lord and make sure I had a place in heaven. When you're 11, you kind of think on that kind of level, what will give me a place in heaven? But you know, I didn't know it then, but I certainly do now that the Lord has a sense of humour. And the following week, the man who came to speak at that little gospel meeting was a young man. And he talked too about sharing his faith. And it was with a friend in his office, a colleague. And it was a Friday, and the friend said to him, look, talk to me again next week. And he never had a next week, because that night he was killed on his motorbike on the way home. And the young man that was speaking on that verse in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, which says this: as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. And I didn't put it off any longer. And it was real. It was real in my life. It was real because it was my story. It happened to me. But you know, our story is not only real, it's ongoing. It's not a one-off experience that, you know, I learned to trust the Lord in that time after that experience. I learned to mess up, which I did plenty as an 11-year-old, you do. And I learned to come back to him in forgiveness. I learned to go through difficulties and to trust. And I learned to experience God's love and faithfulness and joy in him, and to grow up in him. Our story is made up of times of difficulty and despair, as well as of joy and rejoicing. You know, there's a song that says this: would you value having hope if you'd never known despair? Would you welcome coming home if you'd never been away? Would you cherish being safe if you'd never lost your way? Would you treasure gentle words if you'd never been afraid? Would you cherish guiding hands if you'd never been alone? I don't think so. It's in these times of difficulty and despair that we can learn to grow up in God. It's in these times that we experience the comfort of God. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 1:3. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. These are the times in our story that we can share with others who are going through similar times. And those around get to see that we are not protected from trouble. We are protected in it. God will never give us more than we can bear, but he will give us enough to share. And we need to understand that. The people around me are not so much impressed that I went forward perhaps at a crusade or other kinds of meeting. They're not so much impressed that I asked the Lord into my heart in church or in my home. They're not so much impressed that I might have come forward at a youth camp or in prison. They want to see what difference it makes in my life. Our story is ongoing, and those around are watching. Do I have fresh experiences of God every week, every day, every year. We can't go on a one-off experience from years ago. Our story must be ongoing. If you need to be encouraged in your faith, maybe you feel you're in a stagnant place, things aren't moving as you would have hoped, then speak to those who have an ongoing story. Read stories that will help you and inspire you along the way. I've got a little book, it's old, and it might still be in print, I don't know, but it's Great Christians You Should Know. And it's, you can see how little it is. And it's got 19 chapters in this little book. So for each chapter, there's only a few pages that would take 5 or 10 minutes to read. But you know, it's taken great Christians from the past, and it's inspiring to read their stories, just some of the highlights. I've got lots of biographies at home, and you can read a whole book on one person's life, but this is just lovely to get some snatches of situations that will encourage as you go along. One of them is Hudson Taylor. I don't know how many of you now, certainly younger people perhaps, wouldn't know about Hudson Taylor, who was the great missionary to China and formed the China Inland Mission along the way. But you know, he knew that God was calling him to China. And he began to prepare his life for what he would be able to do out there. And he moved into a life-changing experience. He looked at what he could do without in life. He didn't need all the things that he'd been used to. And so he began to strip down his life, if you like, to those things that he needed. He knew, he didn't know how he would get out there, but he knew he could totally trust in God. And somebody asked him, it said, he borrowed a book on China from a congregational minister in town. And he asked, the minister asked him, how do you propose to go to China? And Taylor replied that like all the apostles of old, he intended to trust God for all his needs. And the minister said, oh, my boy, as you grow older, you will get wiser than that. How sad. How sad. Well, Hudson Taylor decided to stick with his own ideas, and he went out trusting God. And they never, ever appealed as a mission for money. They just appealed to the Lord. And the Lord touched the hearts of people around. So he learned so much to trust in God along the way, and did great things out in China. You know, sometimes we've got to look at our life and see, is it ongoing? Am I developing as a Christian? Am I moving on? There was another man in here, Robert Murray McShane, and he had a great effect in Scotland, in Dundee. He was in a church as an ordained minister for 7 years, and they still talk about Robert Murray McShane and his influence today in that part of Scotland because he was such an amazing man. And he said this when he was talking about happiness in the Lord. And he said, to gain entire likeness to Christ, I ought to get a high esteem of the happiness of it. And sometimes, you know, we have to understand that when I'm going to lose some of those attitudes and all of those other things that I've held dear over the years, there is happiness awaiting me as I let them go. And he said, I am persuaded that God's happiness is inseparably linked with his holiness. And we have to understand that if our life is ongoing in him, if we are growing in him, then we will experience more of the happiness and the abundance of God. Robert Murray McShane died at 30 years old. But his testimony is incredible, and the way God moved on his life is amazing. And so our story needs to be ongoing. Make sure it's ongoing and not stuck in the past in a one-off experience that you might have had years ago. Make sure it's deepening in understanding. Make sure it's broadening in knowledge. And make sure it's rising in its experience with a God who loves you. You see, if we have that kind of ongoing walk with the Lord, then thirdly, our story is powerful. It's only powerful if we have an ongoing walk with the Lord. It's powerful to speak to others. It's powerful to fulfill our calling in him, and it's powerful to overcome Satan. People are not so much impressed by what they hear from me, but by what they see. They can't deny what's in front of their eyes. I can argue the Bible with people. I can try to explain to them why God allows suffering to someone who doesn't know him, and I will get nowhere. But when I'm walking with him, my life speaks volumes on its own. It's a powerful testimony to those around that what I am saying really works. God really loves. God is a father to all who come to him. He is a strong and mighty tower in trouble. His commands are liberating. His life is abundant. Is my story a powerful testimony to those around that I meet? Because it's an ongoing story where I'm learning and experiencing more of the love of God. And my story can be powerful because God has a calling on my life. I can be powerfully effective in what he's calling me to do. It's exciting to accomplish things I didn't think possible when I step out in faith that he's given me. You know, Jesus sent out 72 with these instructions in Luke chapter 10. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move from house to house. Stay in one place, eating and drinking and what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. And then he said to the disciples, "Anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me." And when the 72 returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." He gave them the ability to heal the sick, to proclaim the kingdom of God, and to cast out demons, and they rejoiced at what they were accomplishing in him. And our life can be powerfully used for the Lord when we accomplish what he's calling us to do. My story is also a powerful testimony to Satan. It says that in Revelation chapter 12. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom the dominion reign of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our believing brothers and sisters has been thrown down at last. He who accuses them and keeps bringing charges of sinful behavior against them before our God day and night. And they overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. For they did not love their life and renounce their faith even when they were faced with death. We can overcome Satan when he tells me I could never be good enough. I can remind him what God has done for me. I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb that covers me and that was shed for me. And the testimony of my forgiveness is that God has clothed me in his righteousness because I've trusted in him. Our story is powerful because it points to the Lamb of God who died for us all. So, to end with, our story is real because it happened to us. It's ongoing, it's not a one-off experience. And our story's powerful because God is in it. Powerful to speak to others, powerful to fulfill our calling, and powerful to overcome Satan. Our story would be completely different if God wasn't in it. And when Jesus' disciples came back from their exploits, rejoicing that even the demons obeyed them, Jesus reminds them what is the most important thing. In Luke 10:17, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Rejoice because you have a story and God is in it. Rejoice for what he has done for you. And if your story isn't ongoing, it won't be powerful. It won't be powerful. We need to have a story that's not based on a one-off experience of God that happened many years ago. We need to have a daily experience of him, to walk with him, to listen to him, and to bring our lives into line with what he's saying. To have that exchanged life, as Hudson Taylor calls it, that life that says the old has gone. We even do it in baptism. We signify that as we go down in those waters, the old life is dead and it's buried with him, and I rise to a new life. Well, we need to have that seen in our lives. Too many times we're carrying the old baggage still with us. We need a story that's ongoing, a faith that is deepening and broadening and rising in him. Then our story will be a powerful testimony to those people we meet. We won't hardly need to say a word because our life tells it all. They can see in us the way we deal with difficult situations, the way we handle things, the way fear isn't part of our lives. They can see we have a trust in a God and a life that they would want. Is your story a real, ongoing story that's powerful to those around? And are you constantly remembering to say, "Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you've used me to do, but I thank you most of all because my name is written in your book. I'm forever grateful for the cross." Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing that song, "I'm Forever Grateful." Lord, I'm forever grateful to you. And let's sing it as a thank you prayer to the Lord. Father, we just bless you and thank you that you didn't wait for us to come to you, But you came to us. You came to where we were. Lord, you met us and it was real. And we're so grateful that you loved us enough to make a way for us to have a relationship with you, to be able to come into your presence, to be able to trust you fully in every day for everything that ever comes our way. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that day we first met you. But Lord, we pray that our story is ongoing. That day by day we're hearing your voice. We're listening to what you're saying to us. And Father, we're walking in your ways. Because then, Lord, our story will be powerful to those we meet. Then, Lord, we'll have an effect on the people around that can bring them into the kingdom of God. Then, Lord, we won't be frightened when Satan accuses us that we'll never be good enough because we know you've made us good enough. Lord, we thank you for our story. We pray that as we reflect on it over the coming days, that we will be forever grateful for the cross. In Jesus' lovely name, amen.